Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazegna. I want to share with you a new way to live. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. After John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. And he said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Well, we've all heard that term, famous last words. What about first words? Can they be famous? Can they be memorable? What about these first words? That's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Of course, those were the first words of Neil Armstrong when he stepped on the moon. They can be memorable. They can be persuasive. They can be powerful, programmatic. That's exactly what we have here in the gospel. Gospel of Mark, scholars tell us, was the first gospel written, even though it's second in the Bible. Mark was the first gospel written, and Matthew and Luke came from Mark. So the first words of Jesus in the gospel of Mark were this: "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." So these are meant to be programmatic, memorable, persuasive, powerful words. Jesus spoke them wanting us to know and to remember what his first words were. And basically it was this: the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, what in the world does that mean, the kingdom of God is at hand? I wanted to let you know this notion of the kingdom was bantered around in the Old Testament somewhat, and people of Jesus' time were waiting for the kingdom of God. We're not so much familiar with it now in our culture, but at the time of Jesus, it was a time of the eschatological. That's a theological word that means having to do with the end times. I had the privilege of studying in Israel, spent 3 months over there. And I remember we went one time southeast of Jerusalem down to a place called the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. The Jordan River starts up at Mount Hermon, flows into the Sea of Galilee, then it comes out of the Sea of Galilee, goes all the way down to the Dead Sea, and then it stops there. And that's the lowest point on earth. And right around the Dead Sea are some caves, and it's an area called the Qumran. And the Qumran was inhabited around the time of Jesus by a group called the Essenes. The Essenes were a sect of Judaism, and they kind of separated themselves out from the mainstream. They lived out in the desert, and they were waiting for this political Messiah to come, this son of righteousness, this son of light that would come and redeem them politically, redeem them from Rome. As you remember, at the time of Jesus, the Romans had taken over that whole area. They were looking for some type of a liberation, a political liberation. Back in 1947, something interesting happened. There was a shepherd boy out in that Qumran area. That's down by the Dead Sea. There's no houses or anything down that area. And there's the remains of where the Qumran, the Essene community used to live. Well, anyway, he was a shepherd boy, and he was out, and he was throwing stones, and he threw one stone into a cave, and he heard a smash. And he went into the cave, and he found a jar. Actually, there were several jars in this cave. And lo and behold, the jars contained scrolls of scriptures, like Isaiah and other scriptures from the Old Testament. And they had writings from this Essene community. And luckily, that boy just happened to throw that stone and hear that smash. Otherwise, we would have never found these, what's called the Dead Sea Scrolls. And these Dead Sea Scrolls have really helped scholars to understand Scripture even better and to learn about the Essene community. And as I said, the Essene community was eschatological. They were waiting for the end times. They believed that the Messiah was at hand. And some say that John the Baptist was an Essene, that he was living a radical lifestyle like them. They were very ascetic, and they were living off by themselves, as I said, awaiting this political Messiah. So at that time, the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. But the Messiah that they were waiting for, and the Essenes, as I said, were a sect of Judaism, the Messiah that they were waiting for was a political Messiah. They were being oppressed. In the United States, we don't really know what that is because we've never really been occupied by another nation. Now in Palestine, the Israelis and the Palestinians are not getting along all that well, and Palestinians are saying that the Israelis are occupying them. Well, at the time, the Romans were ruthless. This is 2,000 years ago. And they were occupying Palestine. They had taken over the Israelite people, the Jewish people. And they knew that God had promised a Messiah, and they were waiting for this Messiah to come, this great political leader that would ransom them from the Roman rule. And they believed that this political Messiah would bring in, usher in this golden age, this new kingdom. So now Jesus comes on the scene. He had just been in the desert fasting for 40 days, 40 nights. He comes on the scene with this urgent, breathless message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, what was he saying? Of course, you know, they were interpreting it as, well, he's saying that he's the political Messiah. Yet, when he taught about the kingdom, he would say things like, love your enemies, treat others as you would have them treat you, turn the other cheek. So it was very confusing. They weren't quite sure what to make of Jesus. I mean, what is this? He's not a political Messiah. Even one of his 12 disciples, one of his apostles, was a zealot. And a zealot was somebody enthusiastic about the overthrow of the Roman government. So what in the world was Jesus talking about when he was talking about the kingdom? Even his own disciples were confused about this whole thing about the kingdom of God is at hand. Because if you remember, after Jesus died and rose at his resurrection, and when he appeared to his disciples, they said, are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. So they're asking for the political kingdom to come, and Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So there's two different things going on here. But I have to tell you that when Jesus talks about the kingdom in the Gospels, he is referring to two different things. He's talking about the golden age that will come when the Messiah comes the second time. At his second coming, he will usher in God's kingdom. He talks about it in many parables in that way. But also, it's a both and, not an either or. But also, he talks about the kingdom as being at hand, now, present, a new way to live. Remember when they asked him when the kingdom was going to come, he said, it's in your midst, and that can also be translated, the kingdom is within you. So Jesus was talking about a both and. One day, the kingdom of God, the heaven itself, it's referred to as the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Matthew. Heaven itself will come, will be ushered in when the Messiah comes in his second coming, gathered with all the angels in his glory. But right now, the kingdom of God is at hand for us. It's in our midst. It's even within us. And that's what I want to talk about. There's a whole new way to live. You see, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, Paul the Apostle said. He said this in Romans 14, but of rightness with God, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. So Paul the Apostle, the great apostle, defines the kingdom of God as being the benefits of having the Holy Spirit, in other words, coming into a relationship with God, Jesus said, "Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." He was asking us, and we pray it all the time in the Our Father, he was asking us to pray for God's kingdom to come. And of course, he meant that golden age that will be ushered in at the end of time, but even more than that, I believe that he meant every day in our life, he's praying for God's presence, God's dominion, God's, if you will, jurisdiction, his sovereignty to come in our hearts, in our lives every day. It's a whole new way to live. Even if we're being dominated politically by a force that we don't like, we can live in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is in our midst. God's kingdom is within us. So I wanted to talk about this dominion of God, this sovereignty of God, this jurisdiction of God, because primarily what Jesus was trying to bring us was a God encounter. Remember, he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the desert, he was communing with God. He was having manifestations of grace. As soon as he comes out of the desert, it's like he's breathless. It's an urgent message. And he goes, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Please turn your life over to God. Repent." That means have a change. And repent and believe in the good news. So I want you to believe that you can receive the kingdom of God. That's what we pray for in the Our Father, thy kingdom come. I wanted to tell you about what happened to Jesus' death, something very symbolic. It says in the scriptures that when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. You might not know anything about the curtain in the temple, but just to let you know, there was many different divisions of the temple. There was the court of the Gentiles on the outside, then the court of the women, and the court of the Israelites, and then the Holy of Holies was the innermost part of the temple. In dividing the court of the Israelites and the Holy of Holies, which only the great high priest once a year went into, and by the way, in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, symbolic for the presence of God. Well, dividing the temple between the Holy of Holies and the court of the Israelites was this curtain. And it was a curtain of separation, symbolic for the inaccessibility of God. Well, at the moment of Jesus' death on the cross, this curtain was torn in two. And all of a sudden, God becomes accessible. Now, everyone can enter that Holy of Holies. That's what that symbol meant, the tearing of the curtain. They found in the archaeological dig, they found a stone that was placed in the temple. It's now in the Israeli Museum. And on that stone, in Greek letters, is a warning to anyone not to enter this place under penalty of death. Now, through the death of Christ, it's an invitation, not a warning. It's an invitation to enter the Holy of Holies so that you can have life. In the past, it used to be a separation. Now there's a reconciliation. And so that's what the kingdom is all about. It's rightness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a new accessibility to God. This is what Jesus is proclaiming. And that now we can actually come to know God. That had been predicted by the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will give you in those days. Everyone from the least to the greatest shall know me, says the Lord. So Joel himself said, upon all flesh, quoting God, upon all flesh, your men servants, your maid servants, I will pour my spirit upon them, says the Lord. So number one thing or truth that I want you to get about the kingdom of God is that, yes, it's going to be a political system in a sovereignty that will come when Jesus Christ comes again. But at his first coming, the kingdom of God came also, and it has to do with God's presence, the accessibility of God's presence. Those of you who are watching my program, you know, I'm always talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm forever talking about prayer. I'm always talking about a personal relationship with God. This is the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. A kingdom not so much of political domination, but of a change of heart. And let's talk about that change of heart, because really it's a new approach to life also, a whole new way to live in relationship with God. God's no longer distant. God is accessible. But it's a new approach. So if you want to call it a revolution, not a political revolution, but a heart revolution, you want to call it a rebirth, being born again, that's the kingdom. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. He was talking about the kingdom of God that's going to come, but he was also talking about the kingdom of God right now, that it takes having a spiritual revolution in the Holy Spirit. So it's a whole new way to live, and I want to talk about the kingdom as being, number one, a relationship with God, but then number two, a change of heart. Heard a story about a woman who was hiking, and she looked down in the stream and she saw a little glint of gold, and she pulled some rocks aside, and sure enough, there was this big chunk of gold right there in the stream. That's what caused the gold rush back in 1849 in California. So anyway, she takes this chunk of gold, probably worth about $100,000, puts it in her knapsack where she had her food, and she was starting to walk. She was really happy and glad and everything, and a fellow traveler came up down the road and happened to see her, and she was really hungry. She said, "Do you have any food?" She says, "Yeah, I'll share some food with you," and takes it out, and the traveler looked in there, and she could see the glint of gold, and she said, "Wow, if I could only have that, my problems would be over." And the woman took out the gold and gave it to her. And the other person took it and took off, all happy and everything. She got the gold now, worth all that money. 2 days later, she comes back, meets the woman, and says, "I want you to give me something else." And she said, "What?" "I want to have what it took for you to give that gold away." And that's exactly what the kingdom is. It's a new generosity, a new self-giving, a new donation of self, if you will. It says about Jesus that, son though he was, he didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of flesh. This is called kenosis in the Greek, self-giving. So really the kingdom, and this is the way God is, remember God so loved the world that he gave? The kingdom is all about generosity. It's all about giving. It's all about self-donation. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moths corrode and rust corrodes and thieves steal. He said, rather, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths can't eat and rust can't corrode and thieves can't steal. So in other words, he's saying, don't be selfish and hoard everything. Be generous and you will be laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I remember the story of Mother Teresa. Of course, Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa in the Catholic Church, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, did tremendous work, generous work with the poor, especially the poorest of the poor in India. And one time, you know, she has these homes for the sick and the dying. A man had just been brought in who was covered with worms. He was dying, he was sick, and her sisters were taking a sponge and water and washing him, cleansing him, and helping him to die with dignity, loving him. And the man went over to Mother Teresa and he said, "Mother, I have to tell you something. I came in here today, I was all bent out of shape, I was all angry, I was upset, I've got such bitterness in my life." And he said, "When I ever came into this home and I saw those sisters so tenderly caring for that wretched man who was dying, covered with worms," he said, "I saw the love of God, and I was touched by the love of God, and I'm no longer angry and bent out of shape." Wow, what was that? That's the kingdom of God, being demonstrated in love and generosity. It's a whole new way to live. I used to be very selfish and narcissistic in some ways, you know, growing up in the American culture as a male, and, you know, I want everything, and I what about me and that whole thing? And then when the kingdom came into my life, when the Holy Spirit touched me, I had a heart change. It's a whole new way to live. I found that true happiness comes not by hoarding things, but by giving it away. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you got to lose it. And it's changed me. And every day I pray, thy kingdom come. That's a dangerous prayer, by the way. You're praying to be completely changed by the grace of God. Instead of being a selfish, narcissistic person, you become a person of generosity, person who cares for others, person who loves, person who reaches out. And other people can see that. And that's how the kingdom comes. That's how people's lives change. They would look at Jesus and see that happen. Zacchaeus, for example. Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector. He was a cheat, very narcissistic, very selfish, he wanted money for himself. Well, anyway, he just saw Jesus and he could see the love that Jesus had, the generosity that Jesus had. Jesus called him down from a tree. Life had him up a tree, had a meal with Jesus. And during the meal, he had a heart change. What was that? Thy kingdom come. He had a heart change and he said, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay him back four times and I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor. Wow, that's a complete change. And then Jesus said, salvation has come to this house because he too is a child of Abraham. So in other words, the kingdom is for everybody, whether you're a sinner, whether you're Jew, Gentile, whoever you are, whether you're going to church or not going to church, thy kingdom come. I am praying that the kingdom of God will come as you watch this program right now, that you will have a deep relationship with God, that your heart will change from being, what about me, to what about other people? And then I noticed that I began to change in other ways when God's kingdom came in me, and it's still coming, and that's why I pray for it every day. Thy kingdom come, it's in the Our Father. I wrote a book called Thy Kingdom Come. I hope you'll get it. It is such a good read. I talk about worry and anxiety. Jesus said, take it one day at a time. Don't worry about your life. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. What was that? That's the kingdom of God coming. It's a whole new way to live. And so Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor, and I'll give you rest. Isn't that what the world is searching for? Peace. Rest. This is what Jesus offers us. You don't get it by hoarding money and by being selfish and by living independently on your own. You get it by coming to God, by being generous. I remember one time, I'm always in a hurry. I had my parents in the car. This is in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is one of the most beautiful states, especially in the fall when all the leaves are changing. Got my parents in the car. We're going to go what's called leaf peeping. That's when you're looking at the foliage. So we're in the car and we're on our way and the leaves are out there and they're very pretty. And I was right behind this big truck and I'm trying to pass this truck because I was in a hurry to get there. My dad looked at me, he says, Cedric, will you calm down? He says, just look out the window. The leaves are right there. And you know, he was right. I was in a hurry to get there and we were already there. And so what I want to say to you is the kingdom is at hand. Quit being all bent out of shape and in a hurry and in a rush. Take it one day at a time. I was in a car with a priest one time, a priest from India. Although he's young, he drives so slow. And cars are passing on the right and they're passing on the left. And I looked at him, I go, how can you go so slow? And he goes, you know, I wasn't always that way. I used to drive really fast. But then I figured out that people were manipulating me. And now I drive at a slow pace and a safe pace. And I thought, wow, that's different. I remember one time I got a speeding ticket. I was driving to go play golf and I was in a hurry because I wanted to get there. And a policeman pulls me over and he stops and he goes, why were you speeding? And I looked at him, I said, well, officer, you know, honesty is the best policy. I said, because I'm going to play golf and I wanted to get there. And he goes, well, thanks for telling me the truth. He said, but I'm going to have to give you a ticket anyway. Comes back and he gives me the ticket, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, slow down. See, that's the kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. A new peace. You don't have to be bent out of shape or in a hurry. So Jesus comes out of the desert, and he's urgent and breathless. He's got a message. It's his first words, programmatic. And he wanted it to be memorable. And this is what he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe in the good news." And what was he saying? God is available. The curtain has been torn. Now is the time you can have a relationship with God. And he was telling us that we need to have our hearts changed. Yes, there's always going to be political factions and dominations and all kinds of sides and partisanship, but the kingdom of God is at hand, and it depends on your heart. And as you're generous and giving and loving, the kingdom comes. And then Jesus said, take it one day at a time. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. Your Father takes care of them. He'll take care of you. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call.